Good morning, everybody. Okay, we left off in the middle of Hilchas Purim. I said over from Rav Soloveitchik. The Gemara says, Lesa shal zeh bazeh v'shal zeh bazeh. In New York, we observe Purim on Yudalit. In Yerushalayim, they observe Purim on Tezvav. But Lesa shal zeh bazeh, there's an Issa Hespin v'tainis on both days in all the cities. And if it's a Shana Mu'beres and you have Yudalad and Tezvav and Adar Rishon, so then it's also Behesper V'Tanis all 4 days. Rav Soloveitchik explained that just like you have Pesach, it stretches over 7 days, but you can't have the Seder whenever you want in the 7 days. It has to be the first night of Pesach. And Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov of 24 hours, but you can't blow the shofar at night. You have to blow the shofar in the morning. There are certain mitzvahs that are noig by yom, certain mitzvahs that are noig by laila. So here, it's a 4-day yontif and a shana mu'beres, or it's a 2-day yontif and a shana pshuta. And halacha determines when you have to fulfill the mitzvahs. If you live in New York, you have to fulfill the mitzvahs on your dalit. Some of them by yom, and some of them by yom or by laila. The mikra megillah, chayiv adam likras, is a megillah by laila. You have to learn the Megillah twice. The Suda, the Gemara says, Sudas Purim, Shasa Balayla, Lo Yotze Dechavas. If you have the Suda Balayla, you're not Yotze, because the Pasuk says, Lasa Sosam, he may Mishta Visimcha, Yomim and not Layla. So you're not Yotze, the Suda Balayla. Shloch Manasish Lere, Matanis Lavianam also goes on, he may Mishta Visimcha, the days of Yudalant as well. The days means the day part time of the day. By yom, you have to have the suda mishloach manasi shalareyu matanis levyanim. The suda, some rishayim are of the opinion, the Mordechai quotes, I think, from the Rav Yo, said that when the Gemara says suda's poem shasa balayla layotze dechavasai, means that's not sufficient. Just like on a regular yontav, you have to have one suda balayla, one suda by yom. Shabbos, there's a din of shalosh sudas. And Yontem and Shulchan Aruch, we assume there's no din of Shalosh Sudas. I think the Rambam writes that there is a din of Shalosh Sudas on Yontem, just like there's a din of Lecha Mishnah on Yontem, Zechalaman. So you have Shalosh Sudas also, Zechalaman. But the other Rishonim disagree, and the Bir Agron, Shulchan Aruch, quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Masechus Maaseh Sheni, that it's beferish that there's no Shalosh Sudas on Yontem. We don't know exactly why not. If you have Lecha Mishnah, Zechalaman, why don't you require Shalosh Sudas Zechalaman? It's a good tikasha, but that's the practice. So on Yontav, you only have one Suda by Yom and one Suda by Laila. Shabbos also, the Re in Tosfos and Brachos raises the possibility that maybe the Ikar Din is one Suda by Laila, one Suda by Yom, and then Suda Shlishas can be Minya Tagima. You don't have to wash enough to say Hamoitzi. The Re was Mesupik. And the Mele, if you don't have to wash, if that's true, you don't have to wash enough to say Hamoitzi with Suda Shlishas. Then if a person did wash and he benches and he forgets, we'd say he wouldn't have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon, because it would appear from the Gemara, Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole shir on this, gave a Yortzeit shir. He had Yortzeit for his father on Gimel Shvatz. Every year he would give a major shir. Ruba de Ruba of the Shur Maran and Yoni Arachayim, Tzitzis and Filinish, and Kiddush and Abdullah and Birchas HaMazon, these kind of things. So he gave a shir on this, that if it, to this, he brought rise to this theme, to this thesis, that if a person benches on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and if he gets with say Yalaviyavah, the Gemara says he has to repeat the benching. It's not that he's not Yotze the benching. The benching, he was Yotze. And that's why it says, let's say there are three people who bench together, the bench mezumen, and all three forgot with say, so all three have to repeat the benching. So they quote in Shulchan Aruch Chuvas Rashi, that they don't, when they bench again the second time, they don't bench mezumen, because they were already yotze benching the first time. What do you mean they were yotze benching? They were not yotze. That's why they have to repeat the benching. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, no, the benching, they were yotze. Baruch Hashem yom yom, b'chol yom yom, tein l'meim, b'chosef shayom, that you have to mention the kedusha shayom and the benching, that's l'chatchila, but yeah, but if you didn't mention it, you're yotze that yidei chovitz b'chaz hamozen. You're not yotze yidei chovitz hasudah. To be kaver the suda, the shem suda Shabbos, you need kiddush in the beginning and haskara, would say yalaviyav in the end, and the meal sandwiched in between the kiddush in the beginning and the haskara and the birchas hamazon at the end. So that's kaver the suda, the shem suda Shabbos. So if a person, let's say, ate the meal on Friday night and he forgot, would say, so he's yotze benching, but he's not yotze the suda. So we should say, let him wash again and have another meal. But he ate so much. He ate so much by the first meal. He's not going to enjoy eating another meal. He's going to be overeating. He ate already too much on the first meal. So the Chachamim were mekel, it should really be an issue of bracha levatola. He already was yotze birchas hamazon. What's he saying again? Birchas hamazon. The Chachamim were mekel, we permit you to repeat all the brachas of the birchas hamazon, even though mitam birchas hamazon, you don't have to, in order to be kaver the suda l'shem suda Shabbos. But if he wants to, he doesn't have to repeat the benching. If he wants to, he can wash and say, I'm going to eat another meal, and then say, it's in the second meal. He may forget in the second meal also. Then he'll have to eat a third meal. Okay. So the Chachamim were mekel that if you don't want to eat over another meal, we allow you to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. We don't consider it a bracha levatola. Since he needs the bracha not for the sake of mitzvahs Birchas HaMazon, but for the sake of Mirchas Suda, for the sake of mitzvah Suda Shabbos. To be kaver the suda, the shem suda Shabbos, you need the kiddush in the beginning and the bracha at the end. So suda shlishis, if the ri is right, the mikra din is just the din of kvod yom and kvod laila. You have one meal by yom, one meal by leil Shabbos, and one meal by yom Shabbos. Then suda shlishis is just zecha leman. That could be mini targima. You can have some gefilte fish. You don't have to wash. So even if you did wash and he forgot to say ritzei, there's no reason to repeat the birchas hamazon. Because even in the first two meals, the Ritzei is not me'akev in the benching. Ritzei is only me'akev in being kaver the suda l'shem suda Shabbos. But if you don't have to have pas, if you would have had gefilte fish and you would have said barnafashes, you wouldn't have mentioned Ritzei. So even if you did wash and you're supposed to say Ritzei, but you forgot it, you can't say that the meal is not nikva l'shem suda Shabbos without saying Ritzei. He had the brera not to have bread. He could have had gefilte fish. And he wouldn't have said anything about Shabbos. So that's by Shalashudas when they call on that.
Yeah. Rabbi.
Yeah.
So if one had Shalashudas and then he washes a fourth time and forgets, the Kolo Deos, you wouldn't have to repeat?
No, huh? Yeah. For sure not. Yeah. Because the benching of Yotz, even without Ritzei, the only thing you're not Yotz is the Suda Shabbos. You want Mechuyev to have another Suda. There's one Tana in the Gemara, Rav Chitke. I don't know if they ever quote him anywhere else. The only thing he says is about this. So he says, the whole din of Shalashudas is based on the fact that the word Hayom appears three times in the Pasuk. Ichlu Hayom, Kishabas Hayom, Lashem Hayom, Losim Tzuhu Basodem. When they asked Moshe Rabbeinu, what should they do on Shabbos? They left over some of the man from yesterday, and there's no man. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, eat the leftover man. Usually, every day they weren't allowed to eat the leftover man, and it would get ruined. And on Friday, going into Shabbos, it didn't get ruined. So Moshe Rabbeinu told him, "Ichlu Hayom Kishabbos Hayom Lashem Hayom Lam Tzuhu Loisim Tzuhu Basode." So the three times Hayom is what teaches us that you have to have Shavu Sudas on Shabbos. So Rav Chitke, the Tana, is of the opinion. Friday night they ate already, and Moshe Rabbeinu said three times Hayom means you have to have three meals by Yom in addition to the one meal by Lailo. You have to have four meals. So that's some Chassidim. A makbid, we don't pass like this, but some chassidim want to satisfy all the opinions. So they're makbid to have three meals by yom, in addition to the one meal by laila. So that's called sudas rav chitke, the fourth meal. But the last meal by us is shalashudas. So by them, sudas rav chitke is the fourth meal, is the last meal. So again, so the Mordechai quotes Rav Yom when the Gemara says in Megillah sudas purim. Doesn't mean that the mitzvah suit is only by yom and not by laila, even though that's what it sounds like in the Pascha. Yom and Vayela, how to say, Lassasam, you may mishta besimcha mishlach manus ishla reyehu. Matanus lavyam sounds like Lassas osam, you may mishta besimcha yomim, and not laila, so the suit has to be by yom. So this opinion in the Rishonim thinks that Sudas Purim Balayla is not enough. You have to have one Suda Balayla, and you have to have one Suda Bayom, like a regular Shabbos, a regular Yontif. The Mon, in the days of the Mon, there was no Purim. So you can't say the Mon didn't fall down on Purim. So you don't need Pashtas, you don't need Lecha Mishnah on Purim, and you don't need Shalashudas on Purim. But you would need one Suda Bayom and one Suda Balayla, same as the basic din on Shabbos and Yontif. That's quote Yom and quote Laila. One Chib, that's how Rav Soloveitchik explained. How do you understand why the first two meals have to have bread and the third meal doesn't have to have bread? Why is it different? Why should you distinguish? The answer is, The Gemara has, there's a machlekes between the Gemara and the Zohar. The Gemara says, Kvod Yom Odif Mekvod Laila. The Magen Avraham quotes the Zohar, that Kvod Laila Odif Mekvod Yom means that there's a special delicacy that the family enjoys. They're only going to have it one of the two meals, either Friday night or Shabbos in the daytime. Let's say chopped liver with onions, with eggs, whatever. So should they serve, well, whatever the delicacy is that the family enjoys. So if you only get the balabasta, the mother of the household is only going to serve in one of the two meals. Which of the two meals should have the fancier meal? Should it be Leil Shabbos or Yom HaShabbos? So the Gemara says, Kvod Yom Odif Mekvod Laila. The delicacy that the whole family enjoys, a special treat, should be had by Yom. And the Magen Avraham quotes the Zohar, the reverse, Kvod Laila Odif and Kvod Yom. Rav Soloveitchik said there's clearly a machlokes between the Gemara and the Zohar, but one thing they both agreed to, that's what we always discuss whenever there's a machlokes, but what do they agree to? First, figure out what they agree to. Abai and Rava disagree on one point, but they agree on the other 99 points. So first, figure out what are the 99 things that they agree to, and then you'll understand better within the context what's the nekudas and machlokes on the one issue that they disagree about. So he said, here the Zohar and the Gemara are opposites, man, akotzel akotzel, whether kvod yom odif mekvod laila, or kvod laila odif mekvod yom. One thing they both share in common, that you don't say that, he said, it's probably not kvod yom, kvod laila. In the terminology that we would use, we would call it oidig yom and oinig laila. There's a din of kibli the oinig, that's the posuk in Sefer Yeshaya. The Karasa of the Shabbos Onig, L'Kdosh Hashem Mechuban. So that's what the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchot Shabbos. There are four mitzvahs on Shabbos, Zochar v'Shomer, and Kibud v'Yonig. Shomer means to observe, not to do malachas on Shabbos. Shmira Shabbos means not to do malachas. And Zochar means lahaskir, Kedusha Sayyam, to mention, to speak about the Kedusha Sayyam by reciting Kiddush. So Zochar v'Shomer are derais, and not to do malachas and to recite Kiddush. And Kibud v'Yonig are medibri Kabbalah. So the Bir Agra in the end of Hilchas Yontif, it's in the Mishnah, the Mishnah Brura, the last page in Chelek Hei, has that siman about Kibud the Yonig on Yontif. And the Gemara, it would appear that Kibud the Yonig is only on Shabbos, does not carry over to Yontif. But the Rambam writes against the Gemara. That's what the Achronim point out. Beis Halevi points out. Galia Masechta also points out. Galia Masechta is a little earlier than the Beis Halevi. He was a contemporary of Rav Chaim Volozhin in the beginning of the 1800s. He delivered a hesped when Rav Chaim Volozhin had passed away. So the guy in Masechta, as well as the Beis Halevi, they both point out from the Gemara would appear that Kibud V'Yonig is only on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov, but somehow the Rambam writes not so, and everybody assumes like the Rambam that all the four dinim apply both to Shabbos and to Yom Tov. Kibud V'Yonig does apply to Yom Tov. So we don't say that there's one din of Oinig Shabbos for the 24 hours of Shabbos. No, there's a kvod yom and there's a kvod laila, oinig. We would say oinig, not kibud. Because the Bir Agra explains what's the difference between kibud and oinig. So he says kibud means all achanas that one does in advance of Shabbos and Yom Tov. You vacuum the rug and you take a shower and you set the table and you put up the challah and you take a shower and you make your beds. You make the whole house beautiful and everything is a spick and span. The kibud goes on the hachanas that you make in advance of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and oinig goes on the pleasure that one derives on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the fact that the whole house is clean and he's wearing big day Shabbos and so on. So that's what it means, that both the Zohar and the Gemara hold one thing in common, which is a chiddush, that there's a din of oinig yom and a din of oinig laila. It's not a din of kibud v'oinig for 24 hours. There's a separate din by yom and a separate din by laila. That's the shaila. Is the same true regarding malocha? That there's separate isa malocha by yom and a separate isa malocha malayla? They say no. It's one isa malocha for the whole duration of Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay in one of his svarim where he quotes a suffix in the Yerushalmi. There's a Tana Rab Lezer de Mila, Perak Rab Lezer de Mila, Rab Lezer ben Hurkanes, Rab Lezer Hagadol, was of the opinion that when a baby boy is born on Shabbos and the bris mila is scheduled to take place next Shabbos, mila bismana, on Shabbos, the Decha Shabbos, so not only are you permitted to be mechal Shabbos for the actual bris mila, which is some kind of a malacha or another, that's another discussion, exactly what malacha is one in violation of when you perform a bris mila on Shabbos. That's different opinions in the Rishonim, but the Gemara is clear that it's a malacha deraisa, And if it's a milu shalai bizmana, it's not derech Shabbos, it's not derech yontav. You're not allowed to perform the milu because it's a malachim. So Blazer is of the opinion, we don't pass like him, Blazer of the opinion, not only are you permitted and obligated to be mechal Shabbos for the actual bris milu, the hachonis, machshirei milu, are also derech Shabbos, machshirei milu. So the Gemara says, the first daf in Blazer in the milu, daf kuf lamed amir aleph in masech Shabbos, the Gemara quotes this story, in his city in Eretz Yisrael, even years after he passed away, they followed all the psalchim of Rabbi Leza. He was the Mardashra, and they followed, that's the din. Everyone should follow his Rebbe Muvik. So all the Balabatim in his community followed his Shittas. So there would be a Bris Mila B'Shabbos. Not only would they be Decha Shabbos for the actual Bris Mila, there would be Decha Shabbos for the Hachanas in advance. So they would break off wood from trees, make a fire, melt metal, manufacture a knife, and then carry the knife in the street on Shabbos to be Mechal Shabbos every step of the way. It sounds like the Mechal Shabbos even unnecessarily. They had other knives. It's a very strange Gemara. So it's a question, what's going on there? Is that really the Pshat? But that's what it sounds like. There'll be Mechal Shabbos for the Machshirei Milo. They were not punished, even though the opinion of Rabbi Leza was outvoted, because they were Talmidim of Rabbi Leza. Just like Bishama, Yosef Bishama Kidirei. The Talmid of Bishama followed the Shitas of Bishama, even though they were outvoted by Bishilo. And sometimes they'll be doing something, it'll be an Issa Kores, Tzoros Habas. If my brother happened, I'd never had a brother. If I had a brother, and my brother had two wives, one is my daughter, an uncle is permitted to marry a niece. An aunt is not permitted to marry a nephew. That's one of the arayas. But an uncle is permitted to Hashem. Yisa basa chaysay. Basa chaysay and basa chaysay are the same thing. You're allowed to, an uncle is allowed to marry a niece. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. There's an age gap. There are 20, 30 years in between. Maybe it doesn't make sense. But an uncle is permitted to marry a niece. The Netziv's second wife was his sister's daughter. That was the Or HaShulchan, the Netziv of, the sister of the Netziv was married to the Or HaShulchan, and they had a son who wrote the Torah Tmima, and then they had a daughter who we spoke about, who ran away from her husband because she thought he was an Amharitz and he wasn't learning. She didn't want to be married to an Amharitz, and it was against the law to run away from your husband, so the police were searching for her in the forest. She was hiding well. And then when the police gave up their search, so she ran home to her parents' home. And the parents said, what are you, crazy? He's not gonna give you a get. You'll be an aguna the rest of your life. She said she doesn't care. She doesn't want to live with an Amharitz. She'd rather be an aguna for the rest of her life than live with the Amharitz. And so finally he gave her a get. And then she waited and to hear a shidduch, who was at that time was such a... There's such a stain on one's reputation if a woman was divorced. It was frowned upon. We mentioned the other day, they fired the Nesivas because he divorced his wife. And Rabbi Kivega recommended he should divorce his wife. Apparently she was a witch. And Rabbi Kivega sent a letter to the wife. She should behave or he's going to encourage the husband, the Nesivas, to divorce his wife. So he had to divorce her. He didn't get along. And then the Balabatim fired the Nesivas from the shul, from the community. How could they have a rabbi who divorced his wife? It was so frowned upon years ago. Now every other person is on his third wife. Who stays? I'm with the first wife over 54 years already. I'm out of style. Everybody's already a second wife, third wife, whatever. Yeah. So what are we talking about? I forgot. I went too far off wandering away.
I think we're talking about Mordechai and
Yeah. Yes, so the Mordechai quotes this opinion. Pasha Pshat in Gemara is that you're not yet said the Suda Balayla. Mordechai quotes the Rav Yor, Suda's Purim Shasol Balayla Leos Dechavas. This is a lo maspik. It's not enough. You have to have a Suda Balayla, and then you have to have a Suda Bayoim. So that's a recommendation that they have in Shulchan Aruch. In different parts of Germany, they had different minhagim. And some, I don't know, you have to ask the Yekes. Some parts of Germany, they would have Leil Purim, the Bedavke, they would have Milchiks. So no one should think that your Yotze is Suras Purim, because the Rambam says that Suras Purim has to be Basa B'Yayin Ad Delo Yoda, has to be Fleishik. In other parts of Germany, they had Dafke Fleishiks, B'Leil Purim, because to satisfy the shita of the Rav Yo, that you have to have one suda balayla, one suda bayam. Not only are you eating a meal on Leil Purim because you're starving, because you were fasting Tainus Esther the whole day, it's a suda siyantif. So suda siyantif has to be basav yayin, has to be fleshings. That's a suda shal simcha, is basav yayin. So there are two different minhagim, whether Leil Purim, the suda should dafke be milchiks or dafke fleshings. I seem to remember when I was a student in high school in the yeshiva, I had a Rebbe, Rabbi Fishman. So his wife's father, I think, must have been a Talmid Chacham. I forgot already. I think the name may have been Rabinowitz. I'm not sure. Every other rabbi was called Rabinowitz. So I think he once mentioned to us that his wife is from a Chasheva family, and his wife always makes a fleshig meal, Leil Purim. So whatever she does is good with him. So he has fleshig some Purim balayla bayom, like we do on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We have basa v'yayin, balayla and basa v'yayin bayom. So that's so that's an opinion. There is a shaila in Shulchan Aruch, the very last sif in Orach Chaim. There is a question that Tosfos and the Mordechai discusses. When you have a Shana Meuberes and there are 4 days of Purim, is there a mitzvah to have Sudas Purim only? You only read the Megillah and have Shalach Manas Montanus Lev Yoinim on Adar Sheni. If you live in New York on Yudalar Adar Sheni, if you live in Yerushalayim on Tezvav Adar Sheni. So the question is, but what about Mikram? What about Sudas Purim? Do you have the Suda only on Adar Sheni, on Purim and Adar Sheni? Because all 4 days are Purim. Lesser shel zeh b'zeh v'shel zeh b'zeh. You're not allowed to have hesped v'tainich on all 4 days. But the mitzvah of Suda should be like the mitzvah of Shalach Manas, Mantaros, Lavyan, and Mikra Megillah. Should only be in Adar Sheni. So that's a Tosfos and the Rishonim talk about. That from the simple reading of the Mishnah, it says, Emir Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, and Mikra Megillah, I think, and Mantaros, Lavyanim, something like that. So from the Mishnah, you get the impression that Le'inyan Suda Zeb Zeshavim, there is a Chiyav Suda on Purim Katan, even on Yud Dalet or Tezvav or Derishim. But then when you learn the Gemara, it becomes obvious that it's not so. So it seems to be a contradiction between the Mashmois of the Mishnah in the first Perek, Eben or Derishim, or Dushenei, Elo Mikra Megillah, Matanus Lavyonim, and a clear statement of the Gemara. So the Ram.
Did
Binyamin
send you an email about the fish?
Yeah. So the last simon in Shulchan Aruch is that there's room to be machmir, to have a suda on Purim Katan. That means Yudalad, other region, and Shana Buberis. And then the Ramo ends off, Toiv Leiv Mishta Tomid. So the Taz on that sif has an enigmatic, mysterious statement. He says, he gives you the whole background of the issue, that from the simple reading of the Mishnah, it would appear that L'inyan Sudas Purim, there is a chiyuv, even in other region. From the Gemara, it's beferish, not so. Then the Taz writes, V'shapem Mesayim Haramo, and it makes sense why the Ramo ends there, V'toiv Leiv Mishta Tomid, one has a good heart, we'll always have parties, so you'll be machmer to have a suda, b'kavod diga suda, and Purim Katan. What does it have to do with the so pashup shat and the taz is, because it's a there's an issue, there's a question. From this superficial reading of the Mishnah, it sounds like there is a chiyuv to have suda, and some rishonim recommend you should. So b'toyv lei mishta tam, that's the pashup shat. So not so enigmatic. That's the pashup shat. So Rav Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tmimah, wrote an autobiography that goes on and on and on forever. He writes very lengthy. So he writes a pshat. He must have seen it somewhere. I don't think it's his original pshat. A lot of the things that he writes in his svarim are borrowed from others, and he just forgot where he saw it. So he doesn't always give the mara makam. So he says there is a gemara in the end of Sanhedrin. The gemara comments on that pasuk in Mishle, kol yemeyani roim. The poor man suffers every day. But a person who has a good heart will always be celebrating. So the Gemara says, who is the first half of the pasuk referring to? Who is the second half of the pasuk referring to? So the Gemara gives one pshat like this. The maskana, they back out. But the Gemara's first part is like this. The Balabatim who learn Mishnayis and Shul between Mincha and Ma'ariv, so every other week they make an Asiyum on something. Megillah has four prakim, and they knock off the four prakim of Megillah. It's not so hard. The Masichtas, Kalim has 30 prakim. The Shabbos has 24 prakim. That takes a long time, but also it doesn't take so long. It's Mishnayis. So the Pasuk says, but the Gemara, that takes forever to make a Siyum on Gemara, even if you don't learn Tosfos. Just to read the Gemara with the Rashi takes forever. So the Gemara has one suggestion. Kol yimei ani roim, the poor man always suffers. Elu bale Gemara. That refers to the people who learn Gemara, because they're always cautious in the Gemara, and you're left without a teretz, and there's a doichik. You're not sure what the din is. Everything is up in the air. B'toiv le mishta tamid goes on elu bale mishnayis. The balabatim who learn mishnayis, they're always making siyumim. Every other week, there's another siyum on a mesichta, so they're always happy. So that's what the Baruch Epstein quotes, he writes this pshat. That's what the Taz meant. From the simple reading of the Mishnayis is mashma, that there is a chiyuv sud on Purim Kotan. So the toiv leiv, mishta tamid elo bali mishnayis. Those that learn Mishnayis will make a sud on Purim Kotan. However, call you may only roim, but those that learn Gemara, They're never going to be happy. Yeah, but that's only the Havamin in Gemara. But then the Gemara comes to Maskana that is just the reverse. The Toiv like Mishta Tamid goes on Eli Bali Gemara, because the people who are learning Gemara, they really understand what's going on, because the Gemara explains you don't paskin like that Mishnah. It's only one Tana. The din in the Mishnah only applies under certain circumstances. Kol Yimei Ani Roim, that refers to the Eli Bali Mishnah, because you don't really understand Pshat in the Mishnah, and you don't know what the Psak Halacha Lemais is. Well, has other pshatim also on the pasuk. Anyway, that was interesting. Others point out the Shari Tshuva on the next to the Behetiv on the last sif in the Shulchan Aruch points out that the first Ramah in Orach Chaim quotes the pasuk Shavisa Hashem Leneg Ditzamid Zek Bal Godel. I forgot the lashon Eitzel and Avodas Hashem. You should always visualize as if Hakadosh Baruch Hu is there in front of you. And you shouldn't do averus, and you should dress respectfully, and you should speak respectfully, because you're always in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shavisa Hashem Leneg Disamid. So the first Ramah begins Orach Chaim with the word Tamid, Shavisa Hashem Leneg Disamid. And he ends off the Orach Chaim. The last line is Toiv Lev Mishta Tamid. So the whole Orach Chaim is sandwiched in between the two psukim that talk about Tamid. Okay. Orach Chaim is about your daily activities that you do all the time. Tamid, tamidius. Anyway, so that's a shaila about Sudas Purim. Sudas Purim shasa balaylo. What it means, you have to have two sudas and one suda. Yeah. They say, I remember they used to say over the name of Abdelvala Soloveitchik that in the yeshivas they always get drunk in America. I don't know what they did in Europe. In the yeshivas in America, they get drunk on Leil Purim, and they get drunk in the daytime in Purim, not in the middle of the Sudas Purim. So Rav Elbala Soloveitchik said, based on the Rambam, you're not yotze getting drunk unless it's in the middle of the meal, because the Rambam says there's a chiyuv to have Sudas Purim, mishta v'simcha, to have basa v'yayin adalo yada. That's on the menu. Basa v'yayin in the middle of the meal. Ad lo yada. If it'll be lo yada, ad lo yada, benor hamal the baruch martcha. If he's ad lo yada, how can he bench a shiker who can't eno yoch lamed b'fnei melech? So how can he bench? So that's what the Rishami says. V'achalta v'savato v'irachta Hashem alakecha. Afilu hu medumdom. Even if he's a little drunk, because he had a meal, and that was very common, that they didn't drink water. A lot of times the water was polluted, like in Italy. The water was polluted, so they had to drink wine all the time. That's why there were many, in the days of the Ramah lived in the middle of the 1500s. So the Ramah lived in Poland. Ramah lived in Krakow, in Poland. And Poland, the Jews didn't process their own wine. They used to buy wine from the Jews in Italy. And the Jews in Italy used to drink Stam Yenom. Those who processed the kosher wine that was sold in Poland, they used to be, they were all mazals on the Stam Yenom. So how can you trust them? The Mishnah says, if a person doesn't keep kosher, so you can't trust them on kashrus. If the person doesn't keep taras hamishpacha, so you can't trust her that she's the mikvah lady. She's going to tell me the mikvah is okay. She made the hashaka, has the mem, so everything was okay. But she herself doesn't observe this area in halacha, so she doesn't have the manas on that. So the Ramah has a tshuva, the collection of Shalosh Shuvos Ramah. How can we, the Jews in Poland, rely on the Jews in Italy who process the wine? They shouldn't have nemanis because the choshel al adava ladara v'lamidai. So he says the Jews in Italy attack in violation of the din. It's not right. They're not permitted to drink the goyisha wine, but they think they have a heter. The heter is incorrect. They think, why do they think they have a heter? So just like there's a gzera de rabbanim that you're not allowed to eat pasakum. But years ago, pas, bread, was the main staple of all the meals. You would have 8 slices of bread. You would have a half a loaf of bread and a little bit of soup and a little bit of chicken, a little bit of fish. They didn't have, like we have, big steaks and a lot of vegetables and everything. A lot of people never wash. Just on Shabbos and Yom Tov we wash, and you hardly eat any bread. You barely eat a kazayis on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So years ago, the bread was, during my lifetime, that by Europeans and by Israelis. The bread was, they would have 8 slices of bread in a meal. They would eat a ton of bread. So it's difficult to observe the din of pas akum. So if you have a difficulty, so then when they call, if it's pas palter, if it's my next door neighbor baked bread, he's a nochri. Even I was watching and I know all the ingredients are kosher and everything is absolutely kosher. So that's, they prohibited pasakum, that it may lead to chasnus, may lead to intermarriage. So he's not allowed to eat the bread that was baked by your next door neighbor, by a private person. What if he's a palter? What if he sells bread? He's a baker. He sells bread to the public. All the people in the community buy from him. So I should marry his daughter. Mistama, one of the nochem who lives in the neighborhood, will marry his daughter. It's highly unlikely that I'm going to marry his daughter. There's no kurva. There's no kirivat das over here. If he's my next door neighbor and he bakes a bread, that I understand pasak, but if it's pas palter, since pas is al alechem yichya ha'odam, that's how they paraphrase the pasuk. Pasuk says, lo al alechem levado yichya ha'odam, not on bread alone does man live, ki ha'kol devar Hashem yichya ha'odam. So the Rishonim paraphrase that lashon, says, al alechem yichya ha'odam, not on lechem levado, but lechem was the main staple of all the meals. So therefore they were makel pas palter. If pasisol is not available, then there are mekel in many communities and mekel, even if the pasisol is available, you can eat paspalta. So that's what the Ramah says, just like alalechem yichya ha'adam, so that's why there's room to be mekel paspalta. So in Italy, because all the water was polluted, so they had a drink in the regular meal. They had to drink wine, not on special occasions, Shabbos and Yom Tov. Every day of the year, they would drink wine in the middle of the meal because the water was not healthy, the water was polluted. So that they treated wine the same as the halacha treats the bread, just like alalech miyachiyadam salayayin yichiyahadam. So that's why they felt that they had a heter to drink stam yenam, because the nochrim who processed the stam yenam weren't the next door neighbors. They processed the stam yenam, they sold it to everybody. So why should I marry his daughter? Why should I marry his daughter? There's so many other nochrim who are going to marry his daughter. I'm not going to marry his daughter. So the Ramah says, even though the cheshbon is wrong, but this is what they rely on. So that's not called a choshel al adava. Choshel al adava means a person knows he's violating the din without any heter. But here they mistakenly think that they have a heter. They think that just like the heter to eat pas palter because of alech mi'chi adam. So in Italy they think that they're allowed to eat, they're allowed to drink stam yenam. The chidor was a mashulach for the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, so he used to travel around, for the whole yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, so he used to travel around Europe for years. He traveled around Europe raising money and sending all the money to Eretz Yisrael. So he writes that, he writes a travelogue. He stayed a week in this community, that community. He traveled a lot and he raised a lot of money. So he writes that in some communities, the practice would be, they wouldn't drink stam yenam, but they would use stam yenam for kiddush and abdullah. They would. What kind of business is that? You're not allowed to use treif and wine for kiddush and abdullah. So they had a whole svara why. They felt that the mitzvah to recite kiddush over a cup of wine, most of the Rishonim assume it's only the rabbanim. That's what we assume. Tosfos has one opinion that kiddush al hayayin is daraisa. But we don't pass like that. We assume kiddush bedvarim is daraisa. And when you dab meir of you, it's a kiddush. And then kiddush al hayayin is only mid the rabbanim. So in these communities, some of the Gedolim, some of the Rabbanim came up with an Einfal, that the Takanas Chachamim to recite Kiddush Alayayim was made generations before. How did they figure this out historically? I don't know. They felt historically the Takana to recite Kiddush Alayayim was older than the Takana prohibiting Stam Yena. So when the later Chachamim prohibited Stam Yena, they had no right to ask Stam Yena for Kiddush and Abdullah, because that Takana, Kiddush Alayayim, Abdullah Alayayim, came earlier. That's a wild cheshbon. That's a wild. But there were communities like that, that they wouldn't drink Stam Yenam all year long. But for Kiddush and Abdullah, yes, because that Takana preceded the Takana of Kiddush Alayayim. No, we don't paskan like that. How do you determine whether you read the Megillah Yudal or the Tezvah? So in Shushan, they read the Megillah on Tezvah. Aside from Shushan, is there any other? Because that's when they had the Yeshua, because they were fighting on both days, on Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, and then they celebrated on Tezvav. And then the Yerushalmi says, in order to be chelak kovet Teretz Yisrael, so they decided that any city that's Mukav Chamim and Rosh Hashanah Ben Nun, like Yerushalayim, so also they observe all the mitzvahs Hayayim on Tezvav. So how does one determine whether he's a Ben Yer or a Ben Krach? How do you determine that? So one would have thought, where's your ikadira? Where do you basically? I live in New York, and every year, a yeshiva for 20 years, the yeshiva would send me to Yerushalayim. I would stay in the Gush Center. Yeah, but my permanent residence is in Chutz Lartz in America. No mukol chamos ushobenun here, nowhere near here. And I would just temporarily visit in Eretz Yisrael. There's some people, basically, they live in Eretz Yisrael. Once a month, they visit in America. So the Gemara says, not so. The Gemara says, Paras ben yomim mikri paras. And a mukav ben yomim, mikri mukav. He's considered belonging to Ayaris HaMukav Chaim, even though he's only here for the day. He's only here for the day, and the mukav Chaim is only here for the day in the paras, in the city that doesn't have a wall. Depends on that day. So there was a big machlokes about Yontav Sheni Shel Golias also. Rabbi Yosef Karo writes in his Chubas in the Afkas Reichel that it was common during his lifetime. Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Eretz Yisrael in Tzfat in the 1500s. So it was a common practice that Jews who lived in the Arab countries neighboring on the border of Eretz Yisrael would visit in Eretz Yisrael for Shalosh Shagolim. And the common practice was that they would observe Yontav Sheni Shel Golias even in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because they were B'nai Chutz Lartz. They lived B'kvias in Chutz Lartz. They're just visiting temporarily in Eretz Yisrael. V'daitam Lachzor. And the Chacham Tzvi, who never stepped foot in Eretz Yisrael, the Chacham Tzvi was a tough cookie. He used to insult the Balabatim a lot, so he got fired from every community that he got a job in. He was in London. They gave him a hard time in London. So he cursed the city, London. And they say that that's why nothing ever worked out in London in the yeshivas. None of the yeshivas were ever too successful in London. Okay. Years ago, there was Schneider's yeshiva. Used to be in London for a while, and they closed down. Closed down a long time ago. It was there for a while. Anyway, so the Chacham Tzvi, who never stepped foot in Eretz Yisrael, he was in Germany and many different communities, Poland and England and Amsterdam, every place he went, he didn't last too long. It was too tough with the Balabatim. He never gave in to anything to the Balabatim. So the Chacham Tzvi disagrees with Rabbi Yosef Kara, and he thinks wherever you happen to be, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have to observe only one day on Tev. If you're in Chutz Lartz, you observe 2 days on. Doesn't matter where your basic permanent residence is, it depends where you happen to be. So the Mincha Saluza, the Minkatcha, who died right before the beginning of the Second World War, he once visited Eretz Yisrael. He used to correspond with the Sova Kadisha, with Alafendri. On Kabbalah things and on Halacha things. And then he wrote him, and the Alafendri gave a haskama on his chugas on several of the has five volumes of the Minchas Haluza. Now they print all five in one fat volume, but they used to print them separately. So he gave haskamas on some of them. So then he corresponded with the Sava Kadisha. He would like to come visit him in Herzog to meet him in person. So he kept on pushing him off. Now is not the time. And then he sends him a letter, Kiva Moed. Now you can come. So he says, around Purim time, says, now I can come. I'm busy baking matzahs. I can't come now. He's going to come after Pesach is over. So he came during Sfira. And then punct, when he came there, that's when the Sava Kadisha passed away. I don't remember the whole story. I think he never got to meet him. I don't remember any. Anyway, so when he was there, he came after Pesach, and he thought he was going to stay briefly, but he had such a good time talking and learning with all the different Rabbanim, visiting all the Mekayim Sakdashim, so he was considering staying over Shavuos also to prolong his stay there. But then he realized he was going to make a big machloikis. He was known as a big Baal machloikis. He was the one who was anti-Zionist. He made the big. He would curse the Zionists in public. He would curse the Mizrahi and curse the Aguda. Okay, he was cursing everybody. His shita in his Minchas Halos and his Chuvis, he writes. He thinks that the Chacham Tzvi is right, based on the din by Mikra Megillah. The Paris Banyamin Mikri Paris and Mukav Banyamin Mikri Mukav. It all depends where you are that day. It doesn't depend where your permanent residence is, and over here you're only here temporarily. No, it depends on that day where you happen to be. So he was and the common practice in Herzl was like Rabbi Yosef Karo, even though he was in the 1900s, Rabbi Karo was in the 1500s, the practice always was like Rabbi Yosef Karo, that the tourists who came from Chutz Loretz would observe 2 days Yantav. And the Minchas Haluza felt that he's going to stay there over Shavuos. He wasn't there Pesach, he came after Pesach. He'll stay over Shavuos. He's going to observe only one day Yontif. He's consistent with his Shitas. So he'll make a big stir, make a big machlekes. So he figured he better leave. So he left before Shavuos. He went back to Chutz Loretz before Shavuos, not to make a big machlekes. So that's a question. How do you establish whether you're a Paris Ben Yoimai? How do you establish that? So the Chazon Ish has an interesting opinion. It's not like the Mishnah Brura. The Chazon Ish writes that it's possible if a person will be in Tel Aviv on Tezvav and he'll be in Yerushalayim on Yudalid, there's no chiyuv to observe Purim at all. On Yudalit, he's in Yerushalayim, they don't celebrate on Yudalit. On Tezvav, he's in Tel Aviv, they don't celebrate on Tezvav. So the guy can be off the hook, he does not have to observe anything. And if he'll be in Tel Aviv on Yudalit, in Yerushalayim, on Tezvav, he's have to observe both days. To hear the Mikra Megillah 4 times, and to have Sudas Purim, both on Yudalit and Tezvav, and to do Shalach Manas, Mantanas, Lavyayin. It's possible to be Mechuyib in both, possible to be Pater from both. That's what they say. Nechama Leibowitz had a brother who was they say he was a character. So he said that's how they say. Others say it's not true, but they don't say it about me. They say it about him. They say that he didn't like the Yontif of Purim. He didn't think that was right. What are we making a celebration? Because our enemies, we were victorious against our enemies and we killed all the Nochrim. That's not right. So he knew the Chazon Ish's opinion. Chazon Ish was already in Eretz Yisrael. So he would be in Yerushalayim on Yudalid and in Tel Aviv on Tezvav, and he would be Pata, so he wouldn't have to observe Purim. So they say it's not true that he didn't do that, but they don't say the story about you and me. They say it about him. So they say he was a character. He had his own opinions about a lot of things.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Is it wrong to make yourself mechuyav or pater on both days?
Sure, it's wrong. It's wrong to make yourself pater. We go out of our way to put on a beged of 4 corners in order to become mechuyav in the mitzvot tzitzis. Now, normally in the stores, nobody sells any begodim with 4 corners. In the days of Matan Torah, that was normal. In Afghanistan, they go with a sheet. It has 4 corners. They wrap it around their head. They wrap it around their body. So it's normal to have a beged with 4 corners. Well, now it's not normal. So why do we do it? So because the Gemara says on the last daf in the first perek in Saita, why did Moshe Rabbeinu offer so many tefillos? Madua nisnave nisave Moshe Rabbeinu why did Moshe Rabbeinu desire so much to go to Eretz Yisrael, the Chilecha Mipirio, with his Baya Mituva? He wanted to go swimming in the Kinneret, and he wanted to enjoy the delicious Shivas Aminim in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no, he desired to fulfill, to fulfill the mitzvah of Tlaiz Baritz. But if you don't live in Eretz, you're not mechuyev to observe it. So the Gemara says, no, but he was a tzaddik. He wanted to put himself in a situation where he'll be mechuyev to observe the agricultural mitzvahs, and then he'll have more mitzvahs to observe. So that's what we all do also. We all put on a talis, or a talis cut, an Arabic confis, in order to obligate ourselves to put on tzitzis on the beged. So some had the minute, some Balei HaTosfos say that's not right. When you'll be on a madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu, if you observe all the mitzvahs like Moshe Rabbeinu does, and then you have a desire to even put yourself in a situation to have more mitzvahs, so that makes sense. But we're not yet on that level. Some of my best friends talk Lashon Hara, and we do Bittul Torah, we do a lot of averes. We don't do all of it. We're not so careful about observing all the mitzvahs. So what are we jumping? What are we running? To buy an Arba Kampas in order to become Mechuyev and more mitzvahs, we don't observe the mitzvahs that we're obligated to observe. So some had the minig in Morocco. There were communities where they had the minig that only the rabbi would wear a talis, the balabatim wouldn't wear a talis. The rabbi is like Moshe Rabbeinu, but the balabatim should wear a talis. That's mechziki yuhara. Who do you think you are? You think like on a level of observance like Moshe Rabbeinu? Not on that level. I have a distant relative. He's an uncle by marriage of one of my sons-in-law. A very distant relative. So he came from Morocco to Eretz Yisrael. So he was complaining why all the Jews from his community, they never wore a talis in Morocco. And Eretz Yisrael, they're embarrassed. So they go along with everybody else's minik. They daven in the shul, but everybody wears a talis. So they also wear a talis. So he was complaining, but their minik was not so. They should stick to their minhagim. Where they came from in Morocco, only the rabbi wore a talis. Tosfos has the two opinions. Shitim Kubetzis, on the side of the page in Perek HaTchelus, in the middle of Menaches, quotes, we're missing a lot of Tosfos there. They have printed on the side of the page, sometimes in the back of the Gemara, so I think this is on the side of the page, that he quotes to the Balei HaTosfos, had this machlekes, is it only for Moshe Rabbeinu to do that or not? Yeah. So the person should dafke be in Tel Aviv, on Tezvav, and in Yerushalayim, on Yudal, in order to pater himself. That's not really right. That's how the Chazanish says like that. That's how the Chazanish learns. The Mishnah Brura assumes not so. Rav Soloveitchik assumed not so. The Mishnah Brura, Rav Soloveitchik assumed, I'm not sure that this is what it says in the Mishnah Brura. He assumed it depends where are you. The Iker Mikra Megillah is really Bayom. The Gemara is Loshen is Chai Barim Likas HaMegillah Balayla Ula Shanosa Bayom. That's how the Amoraim said, Ulashanosa Bayom. What does mean Lashanosa? So the Gemara says when the Chachamim said Rabbi to their Talmidim, so they thought the Iker din is you have to read the Megillah Balayla and to learn Mishnayis Megillah. Ulashanosa means to learn Mishnayis Megillah Bayom. Then they said, no, Lashanosa means to repeat the Mikra Megillah. You read the Megillah twice. You read Balayla, you read Bayom. So why did they use such a strange Lashon Lashanosa Bayom? So then it's Rav Soloveitchik said over the Netziv, I think in his Hagnam, the Chumash Mos, gives Pshat in the Gemara, that the first time, in Yiddish there's an expression, the year is very long and the memory is very short. So we don't remember exactly what happened from one year to the other. So when I read the Megillah, I don't remember all the details. When I read the Megillah the first time, I say, oh yeah, I remember, that's right. That happened, and that happened, yeah, yeah. And he spoke to him, yeah. So, but the second time you're going to read the Megillah, when you read the Megillah, Leil Purim, you're making sort of a leinen, because you haven't heard the Megillah in a year. But then when you read the Megillah Bayom, that's already Chazara. So Lashanosa Bayom means the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is really Bayom. That says in Shulchan Aruch. The Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom. And it could even be, that's what we mentioned, that perhaps Soloveitchik like this Svara Pshlema of Vilna has. Shlomo HaKoyin, the Dayan from Vilna, writes in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo, he thinks that maybe the Mikra Megillah Bayom was the original Takana that existed Bizman HaTanoim. They only read the Megillah Bayom. And Kriyas HaMegillah Leil Purim is instituted by Meho Amoraim, because it never appears in the Mishnah. Only the Amoraim came up with that Chiddush. So the Rishonim asked Tekasha Hakam the Ritva, and others ask, how come it doesn't say in the Mishnah you have to read the Megillah Leil Purim? So they give answers. But the Rav Shlomo of Vilna said, yes, maybe in the days of the Tanaim it didn't exist. Maybe they only had the Mikra Megillah by Yom, and they didn't have the Mikra Megillah by Laila. So the Iker that says in Shulchan Aruch, the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is really by Yom, and the purpose of reading the Megillah by Laila, Rav Soloveitchik said, you're reading the Megillah Erev Purim, the night before Purim. He used to say Purim begins in the morning. You can't fulfill any of the mitzvahs Hayayim by Laila, because Purim begins by Yom. On the Jewish calendar, we say Hayom Halachachra Laila. The days go from Tzeisa Kochavim, from nightfall to nightfall, from sundown to sundown. That's how they announce on the radio. Yom Kippur goes, or the holidays go, Sabbath goes from sundown to sundown. But by the Umas Olam, the Achrayim assume that it's the reverse. That Halayla Halachachra Yom, the days begin in the morning. Now, by the Umas Olam, the days begin from midnight. And when they compound the interest in the bank, so they go from midnight to midnight. Moshe has a tshuva based on that about the Schar Shabbos. When you take, when you put money in a savings account and they calculate the interest daily, calculated daily, so they give you interest for Shabbos. So they ask Rav Moshe HaShaila, is not a Nisar of Schar Shabbos. You're getting extra revach money when you take all the money out of the bank. So you're taking extra money because they were using your money on Shabbos. So Moshe says it's muta because it's Bahav law, because the Schar Shabbos for Friday night is for Friday in the daytime together with Friday night till midnight. Then the Schar Shabbos for Shabbos in the daytime is together with Matzoi Shabbos till midnight. So the Schar Shabbos for Leil Shabbos is Bahav law with Friday, and the Schar Shabbos for Shabbos in the daytime is Bahav law with Matzoi Shabbos. So he said the Schar Shabbos Bahav law is muta. What do you do if you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah next to each other, and it's not a sfeika diyam, it's either the first day or the second day. The both days are b'toras v'adai yontif, or let's say you have Shabbos next to yontif, so you have 2 days in a row, so there is no havlo b'heter. So Moshe says, anachinami, when you withdraw the money from the savings account, you have to leave over a few dollars, however much money was added on, whatever interest was that calculated daily, because of the Schar Shabbos, you have to leave that. So after 50 years, after 100 years of leaving money in a savings account, you have to leave some money there and not take it because you're not allowed to take Schar Shabbos. Others explain the whole system differently, so there's room to argue. I printed a whole essay about this in the Beis Yitzchok, why Baruch Be'er quotes the name Rav Chaim, a whole different understanding of what Halvor is all about, and what Halvor that you're getting interested, what Ribbis is all about. So there's room to argue with Rav Moshe. But so that practice that they count the days from midnight to midnight, that has no room at all. There's a Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof, about how Gemara had a Havamina like that, that all holidays should go from midnight to midnight, but that's not, nobody holds like that. So the by the Umas Olam, we assume that it's Halayla Halach Achrayayim, that the days begin from the morning. So since Purim originally started, as it was going to be a Goyisha holiday, the day on which Haman drew lots, when he's going to wipe out all the Jewish people. And then the day was Nepach, Miyogan L'Simcha, Me'eva L'Yontov. But it originally was going to start off as a Goyisha holiday to wipe out the Jews. And by the Goyim, the days begin with the morning. So this is an exception to the rule. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. Purim is an exception to the rule. It doesn't begin at sundown. That's why there's one opinion in Shulchan Aruch. We don't pass like that. One opinion in Shulchan Aruch, that if you daven Ma'ariv on Leil Purim before you read the Megillah, you don't say Be'al HaNisim, because it's not really Purim. Purim begins in the morning. The night before Purim is the night before Purim. It's Erev Purim, like Erev Shabbos means Friday. So Leil Purim is really not Leil Purim. Purim is only begins in the morning. And the night before, so what do you read the Megillah the night before in order that the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayam shouldn't be the Leinen? Should be a Lushanosa Bayom. It should be the second Kriya. The Kriya Balaila maybe was introduced Bizman HaGemar, Bizman HaMaroim, to enhance the Kriya tomorrow in the daytime that you'll understand the story better because you remember the story from last night and everything fits into a proper place over there. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah says, how do you, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say like the Chazon Ish, that it's possible to be mechuyev to observe both days, possible to be patur from observing both days. You're not mechuyev to observe either day. Mishnah Berurah says, everything depends on Alois HaShachar, I think, of your Dalet. Where do you plan to be at Alos HaShach Yud Dalet. Because why should it depend on Alos HaShachar? So that's, we must have discussed it every other year. We talk about this. Why do you have to observe Shabbos? There's a machlekes, the Rosh and the Maharam Rutenberg. So the Maharam Rutenberg was of the opinion that the Tchilas Hayoim of Shabbos, the Bein Hashmashes of Tchilas Shabbos, is mechayiv to observe all the mitzvahs on Shabbos. And the Rosh disagrees. And that's why there's a din, Migudus Katzoy the Bein Hashmashes, it's Katzoy the Kol Yayma. Muktzah is established based on Bein Hashmashes of Tchilas HaShabbos. And Hoel Bishtarya Shtarya, let's say, if there was an Eruv Chatzeres at the beginning of Shabbos, even though the Eruv Chatzeres is eaten up later, it's mutter to carry in that location. Or let's say the Eruv Chatzeres allowed you to carry, and then the boats got detached from each other. So you can't make an Eruv Chatzeres a house on one side of the street, but a house on the other side of the street that belongs to someone else. Eruv Chatzeres is no good unless the two houses are contiguous to each other. But what if initially there were two boats, the both boats were contiguous, then in the middle of Shabbos the boats separated. So Hoel Bishtarya Shtarya. If it was Mutter Ben Hashmashes of Tchilas Shabbos, then it remains Mutter throughout Shabbos. So the Avnei Nezer was of the opinion that this din Migudus Katzoy and Hoel Bishtarya Shtarya Ben Lekula Ben Lechumer shows called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Raisa Tikkun on the level of the Raisa and the Mechayev to observe Shabbos is the Ben Hashmashes of Tchilas Hayom. So that's what the Maharam Rutenberg holds. And there was the Chechen of a Rebbe disagreed with the Sochet of a Rebbe. Abnanezer was a Sochet of a Rebbe. And there was a Chechen of a Rebbe, the one who wrote the Siddur Tzulusa Davrom. So he was of the opinion, like the Rosh, what do you mean? Ben Hashmashes of Tchilas Hayom is Mechayev. Every minute of Shabbos has Kedushas Hayom. What do you say, Ben Hashmashes of the beginning? Rav Soloveitchik always thought like the Avnei Nezer. Many of his shiurim he based on that assumption that the Ben Hashmashes of Tchilas Hayom is Mechayev. So that's on a Yontav Deraisa, Shabbos and Yontav Deraisa, that the Tchilas Hayom is Hayom Halach Achar Alayla. Ben Hashmashes is the Tchilas Hayom. But on Purim, that it started off as it was going to be a Goisha holiday. So Purim, the Yontav begins in the morning. That's why there was one opinion that when you daven Ma'ariv on Leil Purim, you don't say the Al HaNisim unless you already read the Megillah first. We usually don't read the Megillah first. We first daven Ma'ariv, then we read the Megillah. Now, because of the COVID, so, and in some communities, the government doesn't allow more than 10 people to be in shul at a time. So some of the shuls, they're going to be makel to start to read the Megillah after Plaga Mincha. The Mechaber quotes an opinion like that. That you can, if it's a big Shas HaTrak, and the Mishnah Berurah says, that's the din. He says, if it's a big Shas HaTrak, he can be makel not only for an individual person, makel for the whole community, to have a Mikra Megillah after Plaga Mincha, because Mikra Megillah is a form of tefillah. And we pass on David Kemar Rabbi. If you want to follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Rabbi Yehuda holds you can only daven mincha up until plaga mincha, and after plaga you can daven ma'ariv. So normally we would have said yochid v'rab mahalochik rab. You don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. That's not a sfeika the rabbanon lekula. Yochid v'rab is not a sofik. But because they apparently thought mistaba time of the Rabbi Yehuda, they thought Rabbi Yehuda has a good svara, so they treated it as if it were a machlokes that's shokel 50-50. And they say Safik, the Rabbanon the Kula, Davening Mincha Ma'ariv is all the Rabbanans. So David Kamar Rab, David Kamar Rab. If you want to follow Rab Yehuda, you can do that. So just like you're permitted to Daven Ma'ariv after Plaga Mincha Mibod Yom, so Mikra Megillah is a form of Davening. That's how the Gemara says, how do you know? Chai Varm Likas Megillah Balayla Shanasa Bayom, because the Pasuk says, Alakaya Kriyama Velaysana Velayla Velo Demiuli. So the Gemara says, it's based on the idea that Mikra Megillah is an implicit form of tefillah, tachnunim. We're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should save us. Just like Bayam Lehem Azmanazah, he gave us a Yeshua, so he should give us a Yeshua. You need a big Yeshua now also. So it's implicitly a tefillah. So it's like just like you can have Ma'ariv after Plaga Mincha, David Kamar Rabbit. So you can read the Megillah also after Plaga Mincha. But let's say the community only want to have Mikra Megillah one after the other in shul. Well, so then the people are going to go home and daven Ma'ariv at home. Because they can't take another 15, 20 minutes to daven Ma'ariv in shul. You're going to have many minyanim, one after the other, after the other. Some in Canada, in some places, the government doesn't allow more than 10 people to be in shul at a time. They're going to have mikra and megillah, multiple kriyas and megillah, one after the other. Only 10 people at a time is going to be terrible. So it could well be that they'll read the megillah before they'll daven ma'ariv. They're going to daven ma'ariv later. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, there was such an opinion like that. If you read the Megillah already, then you're davening Ma'ariv. Then you say V'yal HaNisim, because you're referring to the Mikra Megillah that you had already. But if it's a normal year that you're going to read the Megillah, you're going to daven Ma'ariv first, and then you're going to read the Megillah. So it's not yet Purim. Purim begins in the morning. So you don't say V'yal HaNisim at night. You only say V'yal HaNisim at night. If you're davening Shmoneh Esrei Ma'ariv, you have to Mikra Megillah. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik used to say this every year. That there's a 2-day yontif, and wherever you are in the morning, the Alois HaShachar of the first day, if you're in Tel Aviv at Alois HaShachar of Yudalid, that's Mechayivim to lane on Yudalid, and then in order that the Kriya on Yudalid should be the second lane in, so Mechayivim to lane the night before, if you plan Leil Yudalid to be in Yom Yudalid in Tel Aviv, then you better read the Megillah Leil Yudalid so that the Kriya by Yudalid will be the second Kriya. Well, the Shanasa B'Yom should be the second Kriya. And if the morning of Yudalid you plan to be in Yerushalayim, then the morning of Yudalid is the beginning of the you can't say Kedusha Sayyim. There is no Kedusha Sayyim. It's all Midirabban. It's all make-believe. So there is no Kedusha on Purim. But it's the beginning of the Yom of Purim. So the Alos HaShachar, if at Alos HaShachar, he's going to be in Yerushalayim. The Alos HaShachar Yudal is going to be in Yerushalayim. Then it's Nikva that he has to read the Megillah and Tezvav, even if Lebesov, he's not going to be in Yerushalayim and Tezvav. He's going to be in Tel Aviv and Tezvav. But since he was in Yerushalayim, in the morning of Yudalid, so that's Koveya, that's Mechayivim. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that it's a 2-day Yontif, and Alos HaShachar is Koveya for Yudalid or Tezvav. Not like the Chazanish, that Alos HaShachar each day is Koveya for that day. The Mishnah Berurah also doesn't say 100% like Rav Soloveitchik, but he doesn't say it all like the Chazanish. Chazanish is a chiddush. It's based on a Yerushalmi, based on his understanding of the Yerushalmi. Lechatchila, you really shouldn't read the Megillah before Hanetz Achama in the morning of Purim. That's a Mishnah Megillah. Adav shemitzvah sabayam, like Hallel, like Tiyashayf and Tilas Lulav. Lechatchila, you should not observe the mitzvah before Hanetz Achama, but b'di'evet, if you did the mitzvah, yefta alos hashachar, yotza. It's not the same as Bein HaShemoshes. When the Yom switches into Laila, so there's a block of time that we call Bein HaShemoshes, that's a Safik Yom Safik Laila. So the parallel should have been when the Laila switches into Yom in the morning, when in between alos hashachar and Zricha, there should be a Bein HaShemoshes. So the Yerushalmi points out that it's not so. That I forgot what they call it already. The Bein HaShemoshes of the morning of any given day is Vada Yom. The Bein HaShemoshes in between Yom Alaylo at the end of the day, that's a Safik Yom, Safik Laila. That's treated as a Safik. So why is it, if it's Vada Yom, so why is it only good B'di'evit if you read the Megillah or if you blow Shofar or if you say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh or whatever, in between Alos HaShachar and Hanetz HaChama, why is it only good B'di'evit? It should be Mutal HaChatchila. So Rashi learns Pashim Shat and the Mishnah. In the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have watches, they didn't have clocks. So you may guess wrong. You may think that it's already after Alos HaShachar, and then you'll come to the realization later that you made a mistake. It wasn't Alos HaShachar at all. It was the middle of the night. It was way too early. Rashi learns that it's Gzeira D'Rabban. So according to the Rashi, the Aderis came up with the Chiddush. Aderis of Rabbi Eliyahu, David Rabinovich Ta'omim. We mentioned he was the first father-in-law of Rav Kook, the chief rabbi. Rav Kook married his daughter. He was a prominent Talmid Chacham. He was the rabbi in Ponevich, and then the rabbi in Mir. And then when Rav Shmuel Salant was getting old, he was the head of the Badatz of the Eirach Haredes of the Ashkenazim. So when he was getting old, so he felt they need a new chief rabbi to take over. He's not going to live forever. So there was a whole pilpul who should go. And then they finally chose the Aderis. So the Aderis, I think, moved to Yerushalayim something like 1901, 1902. And he was there for a couple of years. He died in 1906. And Shmuel Salant was still going strong. He lived to a very old age. The whole purpose of bringing the Aderis was to groom him to take over when Shmuel Salant won't be able to function anymore. It didn't turn out like that. Rabbi Chalap told us that he once visited the kever of the Aderis. So it says on his Matzeva, Shenisman Aliyas Rabbi Yerushalayim. He was appointed to take over, but he didn't live so long. He died young. So Shmuel Salant was still alive the whole time. So the Aderis came up with a Chiddush, and the contemporaries of his did not accept it. He came up with a Chiddush that since today every other person has a watch, and even the people who don't have a watch on their wrist, there's a clock on every base medrash, every shul has a clock, and the newspaper always tells you when is Hanetz HaChama, when is Alos HaShachar. It's printed in the papers. Everybody knows how to calculate it. So the whole din derabbanan doesn't apply bizman hazeh. So the others didn't accept it because it's a dovah shebeminyan tzoch mi'nachal atira. Even if they made gzeirah derabbanan for a reason, and you live in a generation where the whole reason doesn't apply, me'at tabad oilam, the reason is not going to apply. Every other person has a watch, more than every other person has a watch. And if everybody else, there are clocks on the walls all over the place. So how can you make a, so today it doesn't make sense to gzeirah derabbanan. His opinion was not accepted. Last night I went to a family wedding. So some Talmid Chacham came over to me. So he asks me, as I was about to leave the wedding, he asks me, he davens in an outside minyan in his shul, and they only have one Sefer Torah. So last Shabbos he was supposed to learn from the three Sefer Torah. First Sefer Torah is supposed to learn six aliyas in Mishpatim. Second Sefer Torah is supposed to learn Parshas Rosh Chodesh. It was Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. He's supposed to learn Parshas Rosh Chodesh. And then the third Sefer Torah is supposed to learn Shkolim. And whatever you learn from the third Sefer Torah, that's what you say the Haftarah. So the Shaila was, that's Nicha if you have three Sefer Torah. But if you have only one Sefer Torah, say learning Mishpatim, learning Mishpatim from the Sefer Torah, then you're going to roll all the way to Pinchas. So you're going to pass by Kisisa as you're rolling to Pinchas. So that's a shot of Emavir and Alamitz. You're going to lane to roll to Pinchas, then you're going to roll back to Kisisa. It's going to be a Tichat Ditzibur to roll twice. So maybe I should say, once you're rolling from Mishpatim to all the way till Pinchas, you're going to bump into Kisisa. Maybe Emavir and Alamitz, you have to lane Shkolim. And then later on, you lane Rish Chodesh, and then if you lay Rish Chodesh last, then you can't lay in, then the Haftarah has to be connected with the last Kriya. So you should really say the Haftarah of Shabbos Rish Chodesh or Shemayim Kisi. Shouldn't say the Haftarah of Shkolim. So he tells me that there's a machlokes between the Shari Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, and the Aderis. That the Shari Ephraim, I didn't see this. He said the Shari Ephraim says even though there's only one Sefer Torah, he still do like that. That's what I would say also. That's most hold like that. And the Aderis disagreed. So what would I say? So I said, come on. The Aderis came up with some of the original psokim. He's a big paisik. They quote a lot. A lot of his psokim were a little too wild. And he was not, most of the things that he came up with were not accepted. Like Abitzala Panavezhar also was a very original thinker. And it was a little too original. He came up with original chidushim that are sometimes against the Ofen Gemaras that he forgot. Again, Ofen the Shulchan Aruch that he knew. He felt he had the right to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. So every so often he has a psak that's against the Shulchan Aruch. I said, we don't accept all of his big chidushim. Yeah. So then this Talmud Chacham says, okay, he understands that the Aderis was a little irregular. What if it would be the Chsam Sefer? What if it would be a machlekes between the Shari Ephraim and the Chsam Sefer? I said, that's a different story. But it's not the Chsam Sefer. Anyway, so if you have so the Aderis has that Chiddush. But Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over on the Yerushalmi brachas that are printed on the bottom of the page, in many of the editions, in my edition of Yerushalmi, many editions, they have the Ridvaz. The Ridvaz lived in the 1900s. He used to disagree with Rav Kook a lot, about Mitzvah Satlizbar. He's also a character. He used to disagree a lot with Chief Rabbi Rav Kook. They have the Ridvas, and then they also have the Pirush from the Baal Sefer Haredim. Sefer Haredim was the same time as Rabbi Yosef Kar, I think. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, Asfardi. So the Sefer Haredim learns that Rav Soloveitchik liked that pshat, that din lechatchila, you shouldn't do a mitzvah shizmana b'ayim, like Hallel or Tkiyah Shofar, you shouldn't do the mitzvah before an Eitzach Hamah. Not like Rashi said, it's a gzera derabbanan that you made by mistake. Do the mitzvah before Alois HaShach, and it turned out that you said a bracha levatol and you weren't yotzei. No, he suggests that Sefer Haredim has, not the Ridvaz, I made him say, this is Sefer Haredim has this, also printed on the bottom of the page in the Rishalmi, brachas. So he thinks that maybe it's a lechatchila deraisa, that the full din of Yaim is Yaim after Zricha. True, because the sun is shining. True, from Alos HaShacharan, there's a little bit of light. Nikar Adin has a din of Yom, but it's an incomplete din of Yom. So that would be a lechatchila deraisa, not to do a bris milah before Hanetzach Hamah, and not to shake a lulav and so on. So then there's no room to say what the Adera said, that since Bizmanas everybody has a watch, every other person has a clock on the wall, so the whole reason for the Gzera doesn't apply. It's not a Gzera. Possibly it's a lechatchila deraisa. Anyway, but if you have a big Shas HaTrak, so B'Shas HaTrak, we allow Lachatchila, what usually is only allowed by the Eved. I'm sure there will be shuls this year where the government gives them a hard time that they can't have more than 10 people at a time. They're going to have multiple Mikra Megillahs. So they'll have to start Kriyas HaMegillah from Alos HaShacharan. The different opinions how to calculate Alos HaShachar, so at least they should be machmer on that. They should make sure that it's really Alos HaShachar. On Purim, there is a discussion whether we recite Tachnun. Common minig is, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't say Tachnun on any day that there's a Yontif, because Simcha, you don't say Tachnun. But the Torah quotes an old minig from the days of the Gaonim that you do say Tachnun on Purim. Why? Because the Jews prayed and their prayers were answered. So what better day is there in the calendar to say Tachnun than Purim? Our prayers were answered then, so we ask, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to our prayers now as well. So there was such a practice that you do say Tachnun. That's why years ago in Rabbi Lifshitz's minion, Rabbi Lifshitz used to have a minion of Balabatim who lived in the neighborhood. He used to daven Shachar Mincha Ma'ariv every day in the old base medrash. And he used to learn Mishnayis in between Mincha Ma'ariv. They had a big Talmid Chacham. He used to learn Mishnayis with them. Over the years, different Talmid Chacham. Learning Mishnayis with them. And now there are no Balabatim living in the neighborhood. Now the Balabatim are the yeshiva boys. Okay. The married yeshiva boys live in the neighborhood. So in his minyan, on Yom Ha'atzma'ut and Yom Yerushalayim, they would say Tachnun, and then they would say Hallel with Abracha. They would say both. So people said it's a Tarta Disasri. According to the Minhagim, it is a Tarta Disasri. But strictly speaking, Al Pi Halacha, it's not really a Tarta Disasri. Like many of the Gaonim recited Tachnun on Purim. They said, what better day is there to say Tachnun than Purim? Our prayers were answered then. So it's a day that's miyuchad. So you can say Tachnun, you can say Halal on the same day. The Gemara says, why don't we say Halal on Purim? So when I answer Gebidim, but the Gemara is, Kriyasa Zuhalela, reading of the Megillah is a Kiyam of Halal. We are implicitly praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thanking him that he gave us the Yeshua. Yeah, Kriyas HaTorah on Purim morning is a big issue. There are only 9 psukim in Vayav HaMolek, and the din is that each aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, and the sach hakol of the whole kriya has to be 10 psukim. So you have 3 aliyahs. 2 of the aliyahs have to consist of 3 psukim, and one has to have 4 psukim. Then the Gemara says the one who has 4 psukim is more mechubad. It's a fatter aliyah, nicer aliyah. The Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tmimah, writes in his autobiography that he was a Levi. Baruch HaLevi Epstein, the Baruch HaShulchan was a Levi. So he had an uncle, Baruch HaShulchan had a brother who was a Levi. So on a time of Tzibur, when you lain by Chal, so the Kohen gets more than 4 aliyah, 4 psukim. And the Shlishi gets more than 4 psukim. And the Levi only gets 3 psukim. So his uncle, he writes in his autobiography, would sometimes be given the aliyah on that tiny stiba, so he wouldn't say the bracha after the aliyah, after three psukim. He would say, you lane another pasuk for me. I'm not going to say the bracha till the balkari lanes another pasuk. The shlishi is going to get more than four psukim. I'm not cheating him. He's going to have a chosh of aliyah. Ben kobako. So that's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says each aliyah has to have a minimum of three psukim, and the sach hakol of the whole kriyas haTorah has to have a minimum of 10 psukim. Somebody has to get four psukim. On Purim, the whole kriya of Yavam Malik only has 9 psukim. So what do you do? So the Mechaber says you should lean over the last pasuk twice. So you made 9 psukim into 10 by leaning over the last pasuk twice. Some have the practice that they say the last pasuk twice for a different reason, that there's a question whether he's supposed to pronounce the word zecher as zecher. Mocha emche zecher amalek. So you're going to say it twice. So instead of just saying that phrase twice, emche zecher amalek, so you can say over the whole pasuk twice. But the Ramah says that we don't have that minig. We don't say over the last pasuk twice because we follow Taisus, and Taisus quotes the Yerushalmi that the whole reason why you have 10 psukim. No. Yerushalmi says, since in 9 psukim the whole topic is completed, Shalom and Yana, let me put on another sweater. But Taisus and Megillah quotes the Yerushalmi that if it's Shalom and Yonah, you finish the whole topic at 9 psukim, so that's good enough. Each aliyah should have 3 psukim. And if the Sach HaKol is only 9 instead of 10, but it's Shalom and Yonah, then it's okay. The same thing, the Haftarah, the Yerushalmi, the Bavli has it, Benegir, the Haftarah. The Haftarah on Shabbos should have a minimum of 21 psukim. Why 21? Because on Shabbos you need 7 aliyahs. We give 7 aliyahs plus maftir. But Mikra Adin, you only have to give 7 aliyahs, and the 7th oila will be the maftir. Maftir oila, the minyan akruim. So you need 7 aliyahs, and each aliyah has to have 3 psukim. So you need 21 psukim. So since the Kriyas HaTorah has to be a minimum of 21 psukim, so the Haftarah has to have a minimum of 21 psukim. But the Gemara says, if it's Shalom and Yana, if you're leading from a Navi and you finish the whole topic in less than 20 psukim, so it's good the way it is. So Rab Soloveitchik, yeah, so that's what the Ramah says. The common meaning by the Ashkenazim is we don't say over the last pasuk twice. You just lay 9 psukim, Shalom and Yana, and Shain, it's good. Rab Soloveitchik used to explain why Shalom and Yana is good enough. So he said, why is the din that every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim? So he said, some Rishonim have this lashon. I thought Rabbi Soloveitchik made it up. Then 30 years later, I found some Rishonim have it on Chumash. So they say, sometimes you have 2 psukim in a row. You didn't even scratch the surface. You don't even know what the topic is. The first pasuk will say, Vadabba Shama Moshe Lema. Second pasuk will say, Dabel Mnei Yisrael V'amart Aleihem. You don't even know what the theme is. You don't even know what the topic is that you're going to discuss. So every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, because sometimes if you only learn 2 psukim in a row, you didn't even begin haschala of the topic. And then the whole sach hakol of the aliyahs, the whole kriyas haTorah should be a minimum of 10 psukim, because usually in 10 psukim, you will have already completed a big chunk of the topic. Sometimes the topic needs 30 psukim, but you will have already completed a big chunk of the topic. So if you had learned 9 psukim, and it's Shalom and Yana, so you finished already. So then there's no need for the 10th pasuk. So he used to give that test, but why minimum of 3 psukim? Why minimum of 10 psukim? Based on this Yerushalmi, that whenever it's Shalom and Yana, that you don't need a 10th pasuk. So he said, you need 3 psukim for every aliyah, at least to begin the topic. Sometimes you have two psukim in a row. You didn't even scratch the surface yet. You didn't even say what the topic is. And you need 10 psukim, because usually 10 psukim will be, in a certain sense, shalom minyan. But if it's shalom minyan and 9, then it's also good enough. When you read the Megillah Bayom, so again, you say the brachas. The common practice is we say all the three brachas. Amikra Megillah and Shachyana and Shaosa Nisim and Shachyana last. And the Sfardim follow the Rambam, that you don't say Shachyana in the daytime. You only say Shachyana on a mitzvah abom is man lezman. So Tkiyah Shefer you didn't do since last Rosh Hashanah. So you say Shachyana. Mikra Megillah, you didn't read the Megillah since last year, but you read the Megillah in the morning. You read the Megillah last night. So you just read the Megillah. So why do you say Shachyana? So Tosus, in the beginning of Megillah, Masechus Megillah, Tosus comes up with the Chiddush. We follow the Ashkenazim, follow the Baalei HaTosus, that the Mikra Megillah Bayom is the Iker, and Mikra Megillah Balayla is less important. What do you mean less important? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, like Rav Shlomo LaVilna. Mikra Megillah Bayom is the Takone for the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, from the days of Mordechai v'Esther. Mikra Megillah Balayla was instituted by the Amoraim. Maybe that's Dibre Kabbalah, and this is only Midirabbanah. It's a question whether even Mikra Megillah Bayom is Dibre Kabbalah. Maybe it's also only the Rabbanah. But the Mikra Megillah Balayla, that's what he assumed, that was introduced Bizman HaAmoraim. So that's what Tosafot explains, why their practice was that they said Shachyana even Bayom, because we haven't read such a high level of Mikra Megillah since last Purim. Last night we read the Megillah, but that was only a lower level. That was only a takanas amaroyim. It's like you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. We just blew shofar during the whole Chodesh Elul. Yeah, but that's only a minig. Blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a real din. So when you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you say Shachyana, because we haven't had a tkiya shofar like this since last year. So that's the story of Shachyana Bayom. When I was a student in the yeshiva, there used to be one of the rabbanim lived in the neighborhood. He lived across the street from the yeshiva. So he would always make his own minyan on Purim in the morning, because the Vilna Gaon Paskins, like the Rambam and like the Mechaber, that you don't say Shachyon. So the Maharil had the practice in certain parts of Germany, in Frankfurt, that a lot of times they follow Minyan Sfard. So on the second day Rosh Hashanah, they don't say Shachyon by Tkiyas. Ashkenazim do, and the Sfardim don't say Shachyon. And the morning of Purim, they don't say Shachyon on Mikra Megillah. Whenever the two Haftarists, the Sfardim have a different Haftarah, so in Frankfurt, they had the meaning that they followed Minhag Yisfard. It's a question, why? Okay, that's a question. Why Frankfurt is in the middle of Ashkenaz? So why do they have all the Minhagim from Sfard? It's a big question, historically. But that was their practice. So the Maharil, they quote the Maharil, writes himself. He was the Balkari. He used to lay in the Megillah Bayom, and he wouldn't say Shachyana out loud. But I think he would pause to give everyone who wants a chance to say Shachyana softly. So this Rebbe in the yeshiva was a Goyan fan. He was a fan of the Vilna Goyan. So his minyan on Purim in the morning, he wouldn't say Shachyana, and wouldn't give you a chance to say Shachyana either. So you had his chassidim of the Vilna Goyan. So they were daven dafke by this Rebbe who lived across the street from the yeshiva. And he would not let anybody say the Shachyana, that they should follow the Vilna Goyan sheet. No. But in the yeshiva, that is not the practice. Common practice is that... And you do say Shachyana Bayom also. Many have the practice this year, not many have the practice that you start to suit this Purim late in the afternoon and then you bench Balayla, so it's not Purim anymore. So maybe you shouldn't say the Alanisim, maybe only say Alanisim on Purim. So then Shulchan Aruch there's a machloikah. So the psak is that you go basa haskolas hasuda. Since you began the Suda on Purim, even though you finish Amatzoi Purim, so the psak is that you say V'yala Nisim. I remember once I spent a few weeks in Onset, where Rav Soloveitchik used to go in the summertime. There was a minyan in Shul for Mincha Ma'ariv. There was only a minyan for Shachris. So the Meiselmans invited me to eat by them. I think it must have been Rosh Chodesh, yeah. So we daven mincha, b'yichidus, we daven mincha, and then we washed and we sat down to eat. and Rab Soloveitchik's mother was benching. While we said Hamoitzi, Rab Soloveitchik's mother was there, she was benching. And then we were in the middle of the meal, so she turns to us and she says in Yiddish, the boys learn in the yeshiva all their lives and you don't know it's a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch. Whether you say Yalav Yovik, you started eating Amish Chodesh, you're going to bench Amitzoy Rosh Chodesh. You don't do that. Either you do like I did, I benched before the Shkia and I said Yalav Yovik, or you wash after Tzeisar Kachavim. But you're not supposed to go lechatchila to put yourself into a machloikis. So ever since, Taka, usually when I'm home, I try to bench all the shooters before the Shkia, because Shabbos is also a machloikis. So we paskin that if you ate Shalashudis, you started by Yom, and then you bench in the yeshiva, they always bench after Tzeisar Kacham, because they have someone holds Dibrei Torah. So we follow that opinion that you go Basa Tchila Sasuda, especially on Shabbos, because there's an additional reason that there's Mosif Mechol Al HaKodesh, there's Tosefes Shabbos. But Bechlal, it's a machlokes, and more correct is to avoid getting involved in the machlokes. Yeah, the suda should really be like the Rambam writes. Suda swim should be basa v'yayin ad lo yada. But on Erev Shabbos, it says in Reish Mem Tes, it's not right to have a fleshig meal on Erev Shabbos. You're not supposed to have a suda chashuv on Erev Shabbos. Kadesh yochel l'tayoven, you should enjoy the meal on Friday night. Yeah, but let's say you have a bris on Friday morning, and the minig always was, the practice always was, that they serve fleshigs by a bris. So the Mogen Avram there, Reish Mem Tes, quotes the Shaloah, that when there would be, when one of it, he had different rabbeim, so one of the rabbeim was a sandik at a bris, and they would serve fleshigs always by the bris on a Friday morning. He was a sandik on a Friday morning. So he would look around. If there's already a minion of people eating fleshigs by the bris, he wouldn't eat. He wouldn't stay. He would go home. Why? Because it says in the 9 days, the minig is you don't have fleshigs unless you have a bris. So then it's a mokka mitzvah. But the mitzvah only is to have a minion mitzumtzum, to have 10 people eating fleshigs. So if you have 10 people eating fleshigs, it's not right to have 11 people eating fleshigs by bris in the middle of the 3 weeks. Our meaning is that in the middle of the 9 days. Meaning is you don't have fleshigs in the 9 days. So the Rebbe, one of the Rebbe's of the Shaloh had the practice, even though he was the Sandik, and the Sandik is one of the three Bali Bris. The Moel and Avi Aben and the mother with the Sandik are the three Bali Bris. But if there were anyway 10 people eating fleshigs on a Friday morning, he wouldn't stay to eat. So that's the Shaila. What do you do when Purim falls out on a Friday? The Rambam says, post that bus of the ayin, but the meaning is you don't have a fleshig meal on Friday morning. But if you have a bris or a pinyon ben, then you do have fleshig. So Purim, that's the mitzvah, to have a Sudas Purim with fleshig. So you do have fleshig. So we mentioned, I think, that Meir Goldbach said where he comes from, and Shari Chesed, the practice would be that they would have the fleshig late in the day, right before the Shkia, and then there would be Paris Mapa Mekadesh. This idea appears in the Tshuvas of the Maharil. The Shoyal suggested like that, that even though Paris Mapa Mekadesh is only a Din B'dievid, but if you have a Shas Hatchak, we say B'Shas Hatchak, you're permitted to do L'chatchila, but usually is only allowed B'dievid. So since there's a Shas Hatchak here, so that's why some had the practice that they permitted this. The question is, what did they gain by this? It's very unclear. How did they solve their problem? Very, very, we wouldn't recommend it to be Boris Mappen Kaddish. Pashtus is, you should have the fleshig meal early in the morning, before Chatzos. That's what it says on the Ramo. Before Chatzos, or if you can't have, for some reason or another, you can't have, a person has to go to work on Purim morning. So have a pastrami sandwich in the office. If he has to drive, if he's not driving home, so let him have some wine with the pastrami sandwich. If he's driving home, we wouldn't recommend he should have any wine. Okay, so have the wine later. Or let's say if he can't have the pastrami sandwich in the office, the nature of the business is such that he can. So when he comes home, he'll have it. It's already after Chatzos, so you got no choice. Even if it's after Shoa Siris, you shouldn't have a meal on Erev Shabbos, Samach L'Mincha Ktana. Mincha Ktana is 2.5 hours before the end of the day. Samach is a half an hour. So the last 3 hours of the day, around approximately 3 o'clock now. So you shouldn't have after 3 o'clock. But if you have no choice, they have to have the fleshig meal, the bus of the yayin on Erev Shabbos after 3 o'clock. I don't understand what they think that they gain by having paris map on the kaddish. Shalach manas, you have to dim. Shalach manas ish l'reyeh, you have to send to one person. Two manas, a machlokes, whether a bottle of wine counts as one or not. The two manas have to be food, but one can be a beverage also. That's a question. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a suffix from the Orach Laner, from his Chubis, the Binyan Zion, whether you can be Yotze Shalach Manas if you give it directly, or have to dafki give Aydei Shliach. I remember when I was a student in Yeshiva, Rabbi Gerelich told us that the Bochrim in Europe had a taina against the Chavetz Chaim, why he allowed them to put that into the Mishnah Berurah. Why he quotes in the Mishnah Berurah this tshuva from the Binyan Zion, it's certainly not correct. But some people are machmer for that you're only Yotze Shalach Manas if he send Aydei Shliach. No. We don't really hold like that. Avelus on Purim. My father died, I have Yahrzeit on this Shabbos. My father died the day after Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar, my father died on Ches Adar. And then the Kfura was on Tes Adar. So I was sitting Shiva on Purim. I think the last day of my Shiva was Shushan Purim, if I'm not mistaken. So the dinner in Shulchan Aruch, there's a big discussion whether one observes Avelus Befarhesia on Purim, so it says one should not. So the Oval, who's in the middle of Shiva, should not sit on the floor, shouldn't sit on a low chair. He should sit by the table. So I was sitting by the table. People came to be Menachem Oval. They were all sitting by the table and talking. Yeah. So even though we treat it like a yontif, that the Oval doesn't observe Avelus Befarhesia, but the day is Oila. The day is Oila. Shabbos is Oila, but Yantav is not Oila. But Purim is only a Yantav Derabbanan, so the din is that it's Oila, the minyan should be counts as one of the days of Shiva. Okay, we should all be healthy. B'li Neder on Sunday, we'll continue the Chazara. We'll continue the Chazara.